Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast, episode 55. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. Joining us today is Victor Guerra from Fresno, California. He is a 21-year-old with SMA Type 2, and he runs his own online store at www.victortheinspiration.com. Victor, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, man. It's a pleasure, seriously, to be on here. It's amazing.
Oh, absolutely. Happy to have you today. So, we're just going to get into your story and what you do with your store and on social media and stuff. So, happy to have you here. So to start off, Victor, if you could just tell us a little bit about your background and when you were diagnosed with SMA and also what it was like for you growing up with a disability.
Yeah, definitely. So I was diagnosed at 2.5 years old. So I have a twin sister. So growing up, my mom was able to kind of compare us to how she was able to stand up and walk and run around, and how I was just kind of still just sitting down, moving, scooting myself all over the place. So time started going by. My mom started getting talking to the doctors, and she started pushing the issue that something is wrong with me. At 2.5 years old, they ended up doing a biopsy on my leg, and that's when they diagnosed me with SMA type 2. So growing up with SMA wasn't really much different than any other ordinary child growing up, because I used to scoot all over. But in elementary school, the kids in my class actually loved pushing me around. And honestly, they didn't mind helping me around school. So for me, being in a chair growing grade after grade, progressing grade levels, it started to become a little bit more difficult and challenging making newer and older friends, because, of course, as they get older, they kind of like want to go run around in the playground or go do their own thing on the grass, right? And I'm in a manual chair at the time, so it's a lot harder.
Right.
So during fourth grade year, ended up transferring to a different elementary school so I could be around more people with disabilities and wheelchairs and stuff. So it became a lot more easier and to make friends and to have fun. And I love racing, so that even became fun too, right?
Nice, man, nice. Yeah.
So fourth grade year, ended up transferring schools. And then the middle of my fourth grade year, I ended up getting a phone call where I was, where my doctor wanted to operate a spinal infusion, which is putting the metal rods in my back because of my severe scoliosis. So we ended up doing that. And I was, at that time, I was almost like 200 pounds. I was pretty overweight at my age. And so that didn't help. But so after I had the surgery and stuff, I was okay for about a few weeks. And then a small little opening in the bottom of my back just opened. It ripped the stitches, and it caused a really severe infection. So that ended up going into a spinal debridement. And ever since then, I was in and out of the hospital for 2.5 months. Literally had over 50 plus surgeries just on my back alone. The last number I remember of counting when I was going through in and out of the procedure room was 48.
Dang.
And hopefully I just gave up counting.
But, yeah.
But yeah, so that led into an interesting journey. So fast forward to middle school. Middle school was pretty fun. I mean, like I said, growing up was just it was an interesting experience. I'm not gonna lie. So in middle school, I ended up managing to flip my wheelchair, trying to play my own wheelchair soccer. And ended up flipping my wheelchair in the back of the school, where there was literally nobody but just me and my friend. And then ended up giving myself a concussion. That was pretty interesting, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
High school was honestly an awesome experience for me. Honestly, my high school experience was truly the best. Yeah, in all honesty, it was amazing. So in high school, I decided to go on diploma track and decided to get my high school diploma. So as I was doing that, it was around freshman year when my respiratory started to get started to affect me with my SMA. And I started going in and out of the hospital, having a pneumonia and a collapsed lungs. And literally it was about like every other month or every other week, I was just back into the ER. So that became challenging because I'm on diploma track and trying to keep up with the schoolwork and being in the hospital, it became pretty challenging. But I'm going to fast forward a little bit. So around junior year, my twin sister, she went to a different school because I was in a different district. But due to my circumstances, I was able to go a little beyond my school district. So My twin sister, she ended up transferring junior year to Mayo High School so we can graduate together. And that was an awesome, it was really cool to honestly see that happen in the whole transition. So high school was pretty fun. You know, I was honestly pretty active and I like to stay active in the school with like leadership was one of my favorite classes. I loved every bit of it. And the hardest thing for me, though, in high school was the writing, because, I mean, you have to write a lot, and especially when it came down to essays and classwork, you know, it became more challenging. And so my SMA was going, I want to say, downhill a little bit, where I was getting weaker. So trying to keep up with my writing and stuff, it became a little bit more challenging. And then I ended up getting this phone call around, I want to say around December of junior year, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
And that's when I heard that Spinraza was a new medication, and it was just got FDA approved. And then that's when I went into the whole process of doing blood work and all these other tests to see if I could be a candidate for it. So becoming a candidate, so long story short, or to fast forward, I ended up doing all these tests, found out I was a candidate. Man, that was like, honestly, it's truly an amazing blessing. So I started getting the injections, and I started seeing improvement of me writing more, no longer needing help, needing assistance with writing or to help take notes for me or any of that. So that was honestly a pretty interesting growth, I would say, you know?
Sure, sure.
And then, I
want to backtrack for a minute there. So going first back, you said originally you were in a manual chair. When did you transition to using a power chair?
So I transitioned getting a power chair around fourth or fifth grade.
Okay. And that you said too that when you transferred schools in elementary school, that the school you went to, did it have more of a focus on people with disabilities, or like as you said that like you were around more students with disabilities then? Apologies to listeners out there, I've got a cough right now too. But yeah. but yeah, can you tell me a little more about that school though?
Yeah, so the school wasn't just people with disabilities or wheelchairs. It was like any ordinary school. But the only difference from this school compared to my previous one was there was actually a classroom, or classrooms, I should say, where they specialized with people with disabilities. So when it came down to like needing help with the restroom or needing help with the food or needing help with the classwork, they were already experienced and familiar with situations like that. So if I ever needed help in any of those, like they already knew what to do, versus like having it all new and then you have to go through the process of like, well, what is it, do you need help with, or how do you need it, like, you know, you get what I'm trying
to
say?
Sure, like more accommodations. Yeah,
no, right, but that's a perfect word for it, better accommodation. Yeah. And then so around my senior year, ended up getting sick 2 weeks before my high school graduation. It was crazy. So this whole thing was planned for a while, you know, because my sister transferred schools and everything for us to graduate together. And then 2 weeks before high school graduation, I ended up in the hospital with a double pneumonia and practically two full-blown collapsed lungs. I was struggling breathing.
Right.
And then, so that was very disappointing. And then, of course, during that stay, and due to all of my recent experiences, I knew I was going to be in the hospital for about a month, you know. So I already started thinking, like, you know, you work this hard and then you're not going to be able to go. Like, it's okay. Like, you know, stuff happens. Well, anyways, the hospital found out about my situation. They got in contact with my high school. They started talking, and then they ended up surprising me and making it happen and getting me a whole medical medical team and everything to get me to my high school ceremony, to my high school graduation ceremony, which was seriously amazing and a blessing.
Oh, man, that's awesome. That's great.
Yeah, it was truly a great experience. And then I remember my respiratory therapist. She told me, she was like, if you feel, because at that time, my normal stats for breathing is about 98 to 100. Mm. I was statting below, like around 50s or below. And so, you know, it was pretty rough. And she ended up telling me, she was like, if you feel any discomfort or you feel like you're your breath's getting more shallow. She was like, you need a talus so we can take you back to the hospital before it gets worse, right?
Right, right.
And I remember, like, middle of the high school ceremony, it started to hit me. I started struggling breathing. I started getting high. I started to panic a little bit. And I remember just telling myself, man, you didn't get here. Just leave. I was like, if you're going to leave, it's going to be because of collapsing, which is seriously not the best way to go, I'm going to be honest. But I ended up taking my chances, you know, ended up pulling through it and ended up going across the stage, getting my diploma. It was amazing. And it was cool, too, because my twin sister was my partner, so she hopped on the back of my wheelchair as we rolled up together.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome.
Yeah, dude, it was pretty cool. It was awesome. It was awesome.
Another question I had about something you said earlier. So when you had your spinal fusion surgery and then the gap after and the infection and all that, and I went through spinal fusion surgery as well. So, you know, it's definitely a very common procedure. But with all the complications you had from that and, you know, multiple surgeries after that, were those all like around the same time or were those spread out over the course of your life? Like when you mentioned saying having like 48 to 50 back surgeries, were those in a relatively short amount of time or spread out?
Yeah, so the back surgeries was all in the process of the middle of, was around fifth and sixth grade year.
It
was
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. Oh, and then I forgot to mention, too, about the high school graduation. Valley Children's Hospital, because I was admitted at their hospital, they ended up, as a graduation gift, they ended up giving me a fly-up in Air George in the helicopter. And, man, that was literally...
Oh, wow. Dang. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was tight.
That's pretty sweet. Yeah, it's like, it's a catch-22 kind of thing, all the things you went through, and then, like, things like that happened. That's pretty awesome. That's great. And another thing about high school, because you said, like, after all the health complications and everything, and, of course, you still had some later on, but you said that was a really great time for you. Was there anything in particular you did then, like either getting involved in extracurriculars or something like that, that helped make your high school experience a lot better?
Yeah. So, I mean, like for me, I'm a very, I'm a pretty social person.
Sure.
I mean, so I had a lot of cliques and quite a few friends in high school, and my sister, and having my sister at the high school too, she was a cheerleader. So I was always around her and her friends, you know what I mean? So I was always around pretty much with the girls, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was pretty cool. I mean, like I just, you know, I used to go off campus and go get food or hang out with good friends of mine, you know, and just talk and BS and stuff. But I mean, you know, I mean, high school is honestly just one of the greatest experiences because it's truly one. It's the time where you should really, of course, focus on your work and make your education your number one priority. But honestly, just have fun because those 4 years are seriously going to fly by. And as soon as it's done, you're going to seriously wish you can go back. I'm going to be honest. When my senior year happened, because I was always in and out of the hospital throughout all my high school experience, so I missed quite a bit, you know what I mean?
Sure,
I mean,
sure.
I, well, I did enjoy a lot. I mean, I was out for quite some time. But what was I talking about? My high school experience. I forgot what
like
I was going
to. Like, if you got involved and stuff, too, and kind of what your interests were at the time.
Yeah, and then leadership was really fun because I got to hop out around the school, and it was cool seeing stuff basically be created and see how the school operates when they have rallies or when they have certain events coming up. So it was really cool to be in leadership because you got to see how all that was created. You know what I mean?
And right.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, I like creativity. It's seriously one of my passions.
No, that's great. And well, that leads me to my next question because I wanted to ask too about, so once you got through high school and all the health complications, like, what was your thought process of what you wanted to do next at the time?
So, and I remember in high school, when I first started high school, I thought about becoming a 911 dispatcher because I always, like when I was little, I used to pick up my cell phone and be like, 911, what's your emergency? But I used to say,
nice.
So smooth where, you know, people would freak out. And then they would have to double check to see if they called the right number. But so it was around, like, I want to say junior year or so, I knew I wanted to pursue in business. Okay. I didn't exactly know what business or industry I wanted to tap into. All I knew is I didn't want a boss to tell me what to do, and I didn't. But one of my main reasons why I figured to pursue business was because of me being in and out of the hospital so much. I was like, if you get a job anywhere you go, you're going to get fired. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
So I started thinking and brainstorming about a whole bunch of stuff, and I was like, go to college, pursue in business administration, and just see where it takes you, you know, and talking to other classmates and stuff, and just see what their interests are. And then maybe that'll help you find the direction you want to go to. You know what I mean?
Sure. So are you in school now, or is that something you're going to start later?
No. So I ended up dropping out of, college my second semester.
Okay.
So this was the whole reason why I ended up dropping out. So I pursued college. The accommodations wasn't really so great. So it made it a little bit challenging, but I ignored all of it and just, you know, just try to push through it. So I went through college and then majored in business administration. Literally 2 weeks, two and a half weeks before my first semester was up, I ended up getting sick with a pneumonia and a collapsed lung yet again. And emailed all my teachers, told them my situation, and they pretty much said, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do. Under no exceptions, like, you're just gonna have to retake the class next semester.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, my sister's there, like, she could pick up the work, and, you know, we can and I can help, and we could turn it in that way. And she was like, all of them were like, no, I'm sorry, you're just gonna have to retake class. So yeah. I blew it off, and it was upsetting. So I ended up telling myself, okay, well, you know what, try online classes. So I ended up second semester, ended up doing online classes. So if I did get sick, you know, I can be on my laptop, you know?
Sure.
So I started doing that. I did that for about, I want to say a month, month and a half. And the entire process of how to turn in work and how to do certain assignments, especially for English, like, English class really drove me nuts with online. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
And it just became very frustrating and stuff. So I was like, you know what? So I ended up talking to my mom, and I was like, Mom, I was like, would you be disappointed if I dropped out of college? And she told me no. She was like, she wouldn't be disappointed. She just doesn't want me. She just wants me to do something with my life. You know what I mean?
Right.
And she doesn't want me just sitting around. So I was like, awesome. I was like, absolutely. You know, so I ended up dropping out of college. I ended up making that call. And then I remember for about a month or so, I was back into my old routine playing video games, you know.
Sure.
And I remember, I don't know what exactly, if someone on the microphone of when I was playing the game, or if I seen something in the game or what, but I remember hearing or seeing something that it made me think of what it was I was doing with my life. And so as I was playing the game, I started thinking about, like I always talk about how I want this and I always want that, and I want to live this lifestyle, you know, but I wasn't absolutely doing anything to get even to come even closer to making that dream a reality, you know, or my dream a reality. So that night I was up till maybe like 7-8 o'clock that morning, no joke. And
sure.
I was just on my phone doing research on Google and just typing a whole bunch of stuff, like how to make money from home or how to operate a business from home and how to become a millionaire from home and all these other different stuff.
Right.
So I ended up coming across this business platform called e-commerce. Started doing more research on it. I thought it was really cool. Started watching YouTube videos on it. I slowly started to see myself having an interest of it. And then it was about a week or two after, I ended up buying myself my first course to learn e-commerce and how to run Facebook ads and how to market products and all these other logistics. And so it was around March of 2018, when I ended up opening up my first e-commerce business. I started, I bought several courses throughout that time frame. just trying to learn everything as much as possible. And but the best learning experience was getting experience doing, was trying it out myself, you know, besides just watching videos. So started doing that for a while, and then I gave it a shot for about, since March 2018 to January of 2020, I ran about 3-4 different e-commerce businesses, because I was just testing the waters, just trying multiple things, you know.
Right.
And so it wasn't going exactly as planned. Like a couple of my mentors of mine, they have their own e-commerce business, and they make like multi 6-7 figures a month, and it's crazy. So, but there's I found out later too, when I was doing it, that there's a lot more time and effort and energy, I guess you should say, that really goes into the business. And it was basically just a business model I couldn't personally do on my own. I needed assistance with it, pretty much, because of my school and whatnot. I was just getting tired. So to cut it short, I ended up going through some stuff around January. And so I was dealing with I got my ninth. And so I'm going to backtrack a little bit. And then so the story can all link up. And then so around December of 2019, I got my ninth Spinraza injection. And when I got that injection, I get put to sleep when I get the Spinraza injection. I'm like so traumatized with my freaking back surgeries and stuff.
Yeah, that's
getting cool. Like, put me to sleep. Yeah, I'm done with
right.
all the pain and stuff. So they ended up sedating me. Well, when I woke up getting my ninth injection, my right hand was numb. And my right hand is my dominant hand, and my left hand is just there basically for looks, to be honest.
Right.
But anyway, so I woke up with my right hand numb, and at first I was like, what the heck? Like, I was tripping. You know, I was like, what's going on? And then it took about a few seconds or so, and I was like, you know what? It's just a pinched nerve. You probably laid on it wrong. Just give it a few minutes, a few hours. Like, you're going to be fine tomorrow, right? No. So when we went home, on our way home after the injection and stuff, it's a tradition. After we get an injection, me and my mom go out to eat. We go out and have dinner. And I remember picking up the fork, and I couldn't do it. Like, I picked it up and dropped it, and I just, like,
yeah,
I just broke down. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
And then that's when it really hit. And then so I was like, man, if I lose this hand, like my life's over. Like, what am I gonna do? You know what I mean? And so I was just a whole bunch of negative mindset at that time, or during that stage, because I just couldn't see positive
at the end of the tunnel.
How to get out of the tunnel.
Yeah.
So a week started going by, and my hand was still numb. And the negative side of me was, the negative talk was, man, your hand isn't going to get better. Like it's just all downhill from here, from now, right? And then the positive side of me was, man, just keep moving your fingers. Because I was able to move my fingers, I just wasn't able to feel it, right? So the positive side of me was, just keep rubbing your fingers. You may not feel it, but your brain cells knows it's there. So it's just slowly gonna gain feeling. So weeks go by. I couldn't operate my cell phone. I couldn't pick it up. I started losing my grip. I couldn't grip spoons, my toothbrush, my cell phone. I couldn't even press a TV remote button. That's how bad it was.
Sure.
And so I was dealing with that at the time, and then I was dealing with some house problems at the time too, and then dealing with my business, and then having my hand messed up, and me not being able to do the work that I wish I could have put in, you know. It really took a toll on me. So it was around January 2020. I ended up going through this whole really hard time. where literally, I don't know any other way to say it, to be honest, but I literally just lost all respect for those around me and for myself.
Sure.
And I, when I say I blew up, I literally blew up. I literally blew up. And so and my mom ended up calling 911 because my heart was racing. I was really hot. I was literally so hot where my shirt was drenched in sweat, like as if someone literally dipped my t-shirt in water and pulled it out. Like that's how bad it was. So I ended up going to the hospital, and I'm yelling at the doctors, I'm yelling at family, I'm yelling at everybody, and I was just in a really dark
place. Really bad place, like emotionally and mentally
yeah.
and everything.
Yeah, I was just in a really dark place.
Sure.
And so I ended up getting placed on 5150, and all this crazy stuff was going on. And then so I ended up, a lot of it's, some of it I remember, but a lot of it's honestly a blur, where I had family stop by at the hospital and talk to me, and we took pictures and all this other stuff, and I don't even remember any of that. It's truly blows my mind.
And this was all within the last few months, correct?
Yeah, and this was all this year in 2020.
Right.
Now we're in March, so. But yeah, this all happened in January, in the beginning of January. So fast forward, I ended up waking up. A chaplain came and talked to me, and then that's when my whole life changed. He gave me a rosary, and we went home and said a prayer. My family said prayers and all this stuff. And I've always had faith in God, but I never had faith as strong as I do now, if that makes sense.
Sure.
So I ended up going home. I'm on some like antidepressants and antidepressants and some other medication. And some other medication I forgot. Oh, it's like geriatric pills or something like that. So I was pretty frustrated at the whole situation. I mean, I understood the circumstances and everybody's perspectives on it. So I understand that point, but I only lost control of myself once, you know, after like 21 years and everything I've been through. And I get on these pills and I just can't wrap my head around it. Like, I'm on these pills. I just turned 21. I turned 21 in January 7th, literally right before all this stuff happened. And so I couldn't wrap my head around it. I was like, I lost myself once out of everything I've been through, and I'm on these pills for the rest of my life, pretty much. So I was up for about 4 or 5 days straight. I couldn't sleep. I'm crying at night. I'm trying to figure out a solution, like how to bring the mom peace and the family peace without and getting off these pills, all that, all at the same time. So ended up going into the hospital a second time because I couldn't, because I was so sleep deprived. I started having a little bit of hallucinations, which is pretty horrible. And scary when I reflect back on it. And went back to the hospital, ended up switching my medications, and they even put it up higher, which was even more frustrating. So I ended up going to the hospital again. I mean, I ended up getting discharged again. And then chaplain came to me at that time, gave me a rosary and a Bible. And then went home. About 3 days go by. I'm still sobbing and crying at night. Trying to wrap my head around this whole situation, like, dude, you're on these pills, like you can't even get off it. Like every time I try to get off it, it just started a huge conflict with those around me. You know what I mean?
And
they didn't even give me, like, I didn't even have like another chance. Like I couldn't go a day or two without it. Like there was just no, like you're gonna take them, right? So. Ended up going to the third, so it came to the third hospital visit. So the second hospital visit, I was coherent, but I was hallucinating a little bit. And then the third hospital visit, which was at the end of January, I ended up going in. My brother came by that day, and he told me, he was like, what's wrong? And I was like, dude, I'm mad and frustrated that I'm on these pills that I do not need. Well, at least at the time, I didn't feel like I needed them, right? So we started talking, and so me and my big brother, we had a talk. And he was like, you need to go to the hospital. And I was like, I ain't going back. Like, this is strike three for me. Like, if I go back, you know, they're going to ship me out to a psych facility. So we started talking. And then and he was like, you're not going to go. They're not going to send you out. He was like, you're fine. You look fine. He was like, you just need help with sleep. He was like, the doctors ain't going to do that. So me and my brother had this really long, serious talk. And I was like, at the end of the conversation, I was like, I'll go, but promise me I'll make it out. Because now my only concern is getting heavily sedated and waking up somewhere else, you know. That was my main worry at that time. So I was like, promise me. I looked at my brother in the eyes, and I'm crying. He's all emotional. And I was like, promise me I'm going to make it out. And he was like, I promise you're going to come home. I was like, all right, cool. So 911 gets called again, picks me up, go to the hospital. As soon as I get there, I instantly get placed on a psych hold. And now I'm starting to trip out, like, what's going on, you know? Like I'm coherent, I'm respectful to literally everybody. I'm on a first-name basis with everybody. Like it was just interesting how everything just happened. Like, I only talked to the doctor once, and he was like, he started asking me a whole bunch of questions. 100% honest with him. Next minute I know, there's a security guard right next to me, and I'm like, are you here for me? Because the security guard's just standing right next to my bed. And I asked him, excuse me, I was like, are you here for me? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, what for? And he was like, your doctor placed you on a cycle. So that's when stuff started to get real. And so now I have no family member, no nobody next to my bedside. And I'm dealing with all this literally on my own. I have family at the hospital, but they're not sending them to me. So, long story short, it was just a whole bunch of miscommunication that day. And ended up talking to my psychiatrist, and asked her. She ended up moving me from a psych hold to 5150. She ran blood work, urine tests, everything checked out 100% clear, no diagnosis, no anything. And so I asked her, I was like, wait. So before she left, and she shook my hand, and she was like, I'm placing you at 5150. And I looked her in the eye and asked her why. And she said, due to 3 weeks ago, she's placing me at 5150 because she feels like I'm harmed to others and for myself. And I remember just looking at her. I couldn't say anything because at that time, I didn't want to make the matters worse. So I just literally closed my eyes, was emotional, and I just told myself, breathe. Like, you're going to get through this. Just breathe.
And right.
I put in really strong at that time, that moment. And I was like, you're going to get through this. Like, you've been through so much. Like, you're definitely going to overcome this. You know what I mean? So I was just trying to stay positive with that during that whole situation. Well, a few hours later go by, ended up finding out that they're looking for psych facilities inside California and outside of California. And they're just waiting for someone to pick up my case, and then they're going to ship me out. So they wanted to airlift me, but when I got airlifted for Valley Children's, my lung or my kidney started to hurt. And so I told them that. So if they're going to transfer me, it was going to have to be on the road. So they, long story short, they all thought, everybody on the hospital ground was very disrespectful, which was understandable, I guess, due to my circumstances and how I was in the past, but can't really judge everybody based on their past. If you do that, I mean, the person's never going to be able to move on, right?
It's totally counterproductive, yeah.
So fast forward, I ended up going to sleep that night. They said that nobody picked up my case. There was another psychiatrist I was going to see me the next morning, and when I was placed on 5150, I was stripped from all of California rights for 72 hours, and there's not anything I can do during that stage, like not even lawyers, power of attorney, like literally nothing I can do. So within 72 hours, I was going to be, I was supposed to go to a facility and pretty much be there for 72 hours and be evaluated after that and to have it determined if I am okay to go home or not. So the next morning, I found out that night before I went to bed, They told me, they were like, a psychiatrist is going to come see you, and the psychiatrist has the power to uplift your 5150, which meaning override the entire block. So I was like, awesome. You know, it was like, literally my answer was prayer. My prayers was answered.
Yeah.
And I had one sleep, waking up. Seriously, this doctor was a blessing. Before the doctor walked in, when the doctor walked in, I asked him one question. And before he said anything, I was like, Doc, I was like, I just have one question. Before you go on. I was like, why was I placed on 5150? And he said, it's because you're suicidal and you're harm to others. And when he told me that, I looked him in the eye and asked, Doc, if I was suicidal, don't you think I could have easily slit my wrist? Because at that time, my nails were long. And he looked at me, and he was like, I'm lifting your 5150. And then after that, we started talking a little more. And then the ending of this story is I'm now off antidepressants. I'm off all medications. The only medication I take now is just for my respiratory. I don't even take pain meds anymore because it doesn't affect me anymore. I have such a high tolerance for it. Well, the next step is morphine, I believe. And due to my respiratory and stuff, I don't want to go that route, you know. So I'd rather just deal with the pain, to be honest, and choose to ignore it. But yeah, so I'm off everything now, and I literally couldn't be more at peace. And it's truly a blessing. I mean, although what I went through, I'm not proud of who I was or who I became, or who I once became, I should say. But I definitely am proud to see how far I've come, not just this year, but how far I've come within 21 years of my life and on, you know, I'm still continuing. So it's been, I used to say my life's been one heck of a roller coaster, but now I say my life's been one amazing journey, because everything I've been through seriously taught me something. Whether that was to have patience, whether that was love, strength, positive, leaning more towards a positive mindset, and all this other stuff, right?
Right.
Life's a very interesting, amazing journey, I'm going to be honest.
Nah, man, that's a crazy story, and I thank you for sharing and being, you know, just so vulnerable. I think it's really important to recognize all those things. It's like, they don't seem like they could be in any way positive at the time, but then when you look at the person you became as a result, it's like, yeah, that's really cool. So, well, and on that note too, and we're running a little short on time, but I did want to get back to your business for a minute. So, you know, on this note, you know, you promote messages on social media and on your website about positivity and motivation. So can you talk about you've talked about how you developed this mentality, but can you talk about that in relation to your business and describe exactly what you do with your business, your online store? And, you know, I think it's easy to tell how it stemmed from all of what you just said, you know?
Yeah. So talking about all of my past experiences with growing up with SMA, school experience, hospital experiences, and my 50 experience, I ended up having when I was home, a good friend of mine, I met him at the hospital, a really awesome guy, and he ended up calling me up, and we ended up having this really long, serious talk, and it was a good conversation, and in that conversation, he asked me, like, hey, what's going on, like, you know, like, what happened, and because he found out. And so I told him everything, and he was like, man, he was like, it's crazy. He was like, I never heard, he works in a hospital too. And he was like, he never heard anyone go through that and get placed on a psych hold and move to a 5150 with my circumstances and how everything, not my circumstances, but how everything was and how it was at that time. He was like, it's crazy. But anyway, so when we started talking, he was like, you know what's good? Because he knew I'm into e-commerce, or he knew I was in e-commerce at that time, and how I build websites and all this other stuff. So he was like, you know what you should do? And I was like, what? He was like, man, He was like, why don't you use this experience to spread awareness on your 5150 and talk about it and how people who also go through it can overcome it, you know? And I was like, and in that conversation, I was like, man, that's a really good idea. Like, I'm really going to think about it. So anyways, we ended up getting off the phone. I started thinking about it that entire day. That night, I started thinking before I went to sleep. I started thinking about, like, what am I going to do tomorrow? And then so I started thinking and brainstorming and stuff. I ended up going for a really nice cruise around the block, around the neighborhood for about an hour. Just to get some clarity. Or not clarity, but just get my mind flowing. I really love nature and stuff. So I started brainstorming and stuff about everything he was talking about. And I was like, dude, why don't you create a website with your personal brand and talk about your life experiences, but not just your life experiences, but also stuff that kept you going or stuff that motivated you or certain YouTube videos that or music that motivated you and upload some of your favorite songs that inspired you to keep going, and upload some funny videos that kept you keep going, or uploads, not upload, but create pages to of TV shows like Ellen DeGeneres, for example. Hers is one of her shows seriously changed my life, I'm gonna be honest. And upload certain of her stuff because her stuff kept me going. And all these other stuff. And one of the main things that I really wanted on my website that I created a page for was motivational videos, like the motivational videos that kept me going and what inspired me to keep going and why, like, you know. So I started thinking about all this other stuff, and I started doing it. So as I was doing it, I was like, okay, so now that you have this done, what's your next step? And I was like, and one of my buddies of mine, he posted a picture, a quote actually. And it was an amazing quote, and I messaged him. I was like, hey, would you buy a shirt if it had a quote similar to this, right? And he was like, oh, heck yeah, man, absolutely. So it enlightened me to create shirts with quotes or with messages or pretty much with the story behind it, you know? And then so I started creating shirt designs and stuff. I'm gonna be honest, the shirt designs I have now, I don't feel is like really good at the moment. I'm still working on it, you know, I got to start from somewhere.
But oh, sure, it takes time to develop them.
So I started creating shirt designs, and then when I created shirt designs, I started writing the story of to why I made it. So the story behind it, so it has a message, right?
So I started doing
all that, and I'm still working on my website. I'm not 100% done yet. I still plan on uploading more shirt designs. One thing that I definitely do am working on right now is creating is bettering my SMA story that's on my website, and also is to create a page where I talk about Strictly Spinraza, where it's just my personal experience with it, so that way, like, anyone comes to the page, they can see my story, and maybe, like, they could be like, oh, I'm in this stage too. Like, when I started getting Spinraza, it hasn't been a straight uphill climb, you know what I mean? Like, it's like there's ups and downs. Like, I'll still feel fatigued here and there and feel weak, you know? And I'll still have days where, like, I'm like, man, I struggle feeding myself and stuff. But talk about that experience. Like, honestly, life is literally like a heartbeat. And what I mean by that is if your heartbeat doesn't have any ups and downs, it means you're not breathing, right? So I just started thinking about a whole bunch of stuff, and that's how Vicky the Inspiration came into play.
That's great, man. And touching on Spinraza there for a minute, you know, I'm glad you said that it is very much an up and down kind of thing, because, you know, I think people outside the SMA community hear that it's a treatment and assume that it's overwhelmingly positive. And, you know, it certainly is in many regards, but also, you know, as you described with your experience, you know, there are setbacks as well. And I think it's important to, something to be cognizant about, you know. So it's really cool, though, that you're able, and But even with that experience, I know with you had some decline with your hand strength and everything. But you're still continuing the treatment, correct?
Oh yes, absolutely. I get my 10th Spinraza injection next month in April.
Okay, gotcha. That's awesome. And I was curious, did you, after you had that experience in December, did you talk with your neurologist about, you know, like, why that may have happened? Like, if it was a side effect or something, why you were starting to lose strength there instead of, you know, it being maintained?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I talked to her, and so, before they sedated me, they have to turn me on my side due to my scoliosis and the angle.
Sure.
They have to turn me on my side. So, when they turned me, my elbow was right underneath my, I guess my hip area, you want to say?
Okay.
When they turned me, they were like, are you good? And I was like, yeah. But when I said, yeah, they're like, okay, now I'm going to give you the sedation medication. So as they're doing that, I mean, it's pretty quick, you know what I mean? So
right.
When they were doing that, they ended up moving me, like pulling the sheet a little bit more.
Yes.
And then so during that second, I was like, am I being paranoid about my arm or and I'm just being, because before I go to sleep every single time, I literally ask them 1,000 times, especially the anesthesiologist, am I going to be put to sleep? They're like, oh, yes. And I always ask that, just experiences, you know?
Right.
And so anyways, so during that time, I had like a second to just think. You know, you can think for about a second. You can think of a million different things, right? So
sure.
I was like, Victor, you're just being paranoid. Like, you're fine. Everything's going to be okay. Like, dude, this is your 9th injection. Like, this isn't your first. Like, everything's going to be fine. And so anyways, during all that, ended up, I felt like I was on my arm. But I was like, I'm just being paranoid. You know, everything's going to be okay. And then that's when I woke up with the pinched nerve. So it wasn't, I don't want to say it was anything to do with the doctors and or not the doctors, but the hospital staff's end, or with the Spinraza injection end. I feel honestly it was just me for not speaking up when I should have. And, you know, but I mean, you learn as you go, right?
Right. And well, no, and it's, I'm really glad he said that too, because it's like, it is such, I mean, that's what a lot of people don't realize, that those of us with SMA, the smallest little factors like that with positioning and stuff, can have a huge impact, and that's what it sounds like from that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I agree 100%.
Yeah. That's great. Well, no, thanks for sharing that. I was just curious. And I hope again the next injection goes much smoother, but that's, yeah. Well, Victor, this has been great. And again, I thank you so much for sharing your story and everything. And I guess just wrapping up here, can you just talk a little bit about your daily life now? I mean, granted, I know all of the things you just described were very recent, and so that kind of like really interrupted your life, I'm sure, but if you're kind of getting back to normal-ish, you know, like, what does a typical day of the week look like for you?
So a typical day of the week, I'll be working on my website, trying to improve certain things. I have my own YouTube channel too, so I'll be uploading videos and editing them and rewatching them to make sure there's not like anything in there that shouldn't be in there. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I do that. I watch a little bit of TV here and there. I'm gonna be honest. I'm not really one to really sit down. I mean, I am sitting down. I'm in a wheelchair, but
yeah, right.
I'm not really one to just sit there and stay still. I should say I get not bored easily, but I like to move.
Sure.
Like I'm constantly always rocking my wheelchair. Like, even in school, for example, I literally, after my work would be done, I would be rocking my chair back and forth, and everybody would be like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, play still. But yeah, so I'll be doing that pretty much, and then, or I'll go on a daily cruise, you know, around the neighborhood.
Sure.
And stay outside and just enjoy the trees and sound of dogs barking and
yeah,
going by and stuff like that. Like, I'm a really, really huge fan for nature, to be honest.
That's great. No, oh, that's awesome, huh? And final question here too, and I think you've hit on this a lot, but with your messages of positivity and everything, but do you have any advice for other people with SMA or just in the community?
Yeah, so I really, really the best advice I can give you is, in a world full of stairs, create your own trails. The reason I choose to keep going through it all is because life is as simple as this. Like, we only have one life, right? And one life only. We don't know what happens when we get buried 6 feet under. We don't, right? And I keep going forward day after day because whenever my time is up, I would like to think and reflect back on all the things I did do versus all the things I wish I had done. And I feel like that's a really important message right there. And another thing I should say too is, helping one person might not change the world, but to the world it could change. Wait, I'm trying to think how that quote goes. I'm sorry. Helping one person might not change the world, but it could change the world for one person.
That's great. Yeah. Nah, man, that's a really powerful quote. And again, thank you so much for sharing your story today. And it's great to hear that. You know, I know you went through some incredibly rough stuff just this year alone, but glad things are looking more up for you now, you know?
Thank you. I appreciate it, Kevin.
Yeah, man. And just for where listeners can find you, so all your social media pages and your website, it's all at Victor the Inspiration, correct?
Right.
Awesome. So, yeah, now I've seen you on Instagram, Facebook, and then you can check out the main website. So, man, thanks again for coming on today. This has been great. And for our listeners out there, you can hear more stories like this by subscribing to the SMA News Today podcast. You can also connect with us directly on our forums and follow our main website at smanewstoday.com for all the latest SMA news and perspectives. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Take care.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.smanewstoday.com, and be sure to follow us on social media and join our SMA News Today forums, a trusted SMA community ready to welcome you anytime.